Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter number 27. I was glad that Keith sang that song, because here the last few weeks we've been in around the cross, talking about the seven sayings that Jesus spoke around the cross. And we started out a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then last Sunday we talked when he was referring to and communicating with one of the thieves on the cross. He said, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." And so today I want to look at another one of the sayings from the cross, and it's found in Matthew chapter number 27. It'll be on the screen there for you in just a second. It's found in verse number 45. Are you there? "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it him to drink. And the rest said, Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. Singing's been good, and Lord, our hearts are just rejoicing at just being in the atmosphere of God's people. Lord, I thank you for our church. I thank you for the people that come on a weekly basis, Lord, just to get something from you, and Lord, not from me, because I don't have anything to give. But Lord, only thing that I have is what you've given us, and that is in your word. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us the strength and, Lord, the words to say to help the people the most, and we'll thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. You know that first verse, it says, "And from the sixth hour." Now, the sixth hour in Jewish time, we count time from 12. 12 starts at midnight, starts a new day. Well, Jewish time starts at 6. And so if you count from 6 and you go 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, we're talking about sixth hour is 12 noon in the high day. And then from 12 noon, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, if 12 is the sixth hour, and that means the ninth hour is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So from noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun refused to shine. And it was almost like God just pulled a curtain closed, and the sun in the middle of the day would not shine. Because there was something going on between the Father and the Son that we can't explain. There's something that we will not realize, and we won't all understand it all until we get to heaven, what actually transpired between that darkness of 3 hours. Here's something I want you to notice. Jesus didn't open his mouth when they spit in his face. Jesus didn't open his mouth when they took the cat of nine tails and they beat him on the back till his mother would not even recognize him. Jesus didn't open his mouth when they plucked his beard out of the side of his face. Jesus didn't open his mouth when they laid him on the cross and they started driving nails into his hand. He didn't say anything. He didn't say anything when they drove nails into his feet upon that cross. But when Jesus said something, now if I had went all the way through that, I would have been saying something the whole time. But Jesus, according to Isaiah 53, the Bible says he opened not his mouth. So when he does open his mouth, it wasn't because he was agonizing. Yes, it was painful. Yes, it was agonizing. But he didn't open his mouth when he went through all of that stuff. What was more agonizing than that was when he said, my God, why hast thou turned your back on me? Why have you forsaken me? That's when he opened his mouth. Here, it's some passages of scripture that I can't explain it all, but I'm going to do my best this morning to try to paint a picture for you of what was going on at this scene around the cross. Number one, I want to show you the darkness. I've already explained some of that. This darkness suspended between heaven and earth. Get this. Jesus, the light of the world, is now in total darkness. The light of the world is now in total darkness. The darkness covered the sun. Darkness over the whole land. Some people say, now, preacher, you have to understand, these are people that don't believe the Bible. They say, well, you understand that this was just an eclipse. Well, I didn't pay much attention in science class, but I did pay attention long enough to realize this, that when Passover took place, it's about the fullness of the moon. And when the moon is full, the sun is the furthest. The moon and the sun are the furthest apart. Couldn't have been eclipse. The longest eclipse that has been known is 6 minutes. This eclipse lasted 3 hours. This was not an eclipse. This was something supernatural taking place between God and his son. Matter of fact, the Old Testament speaks of this in Amos chapter number 8 and verse number 9. In the Old Testament, it says, and it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. You have to understand something, folks. These words that Jesus said, this is not the first time they've been said. In Psalm 22, David writes, my God, and he's quoting Jesus, who hadn't been born yet. He's quoting a man that hadn't been born yet. My God, why? This is in Psalms now. Did I say that? This is in Psalms, Old Testament. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. Jesus hanging on the cross. Yes, it was painful. Probably one of the most agonizing and painful experiences. If you ever watched The Passion of the Christ, they depicted that very well. And at least that part they depicted very well. But Jesus didn't, he wasn't worried about that. Yes, he went through it. But what tore his heart completely out of his chest is when his own father turned his back on him. This darkness over the whole land. This darkness when sin entered the world, Adam and Eve took of that fruit and it shattered the creation. The creation changed. I submit to you when the last Adam hung on the cross paying for that sin, the creation changed and became dark. It was like the darkness of secrecy. It was almost like for these 3 hours, the God of the universe turned his back on his only begotten son, and it had to do with our sin. That Bible tells us, ladies and gentlemen, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that on the Day of Atonement, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go in behind. Matter of fact, I got a picture. Y'all see that high priest right there? There's a big curtain right there. And that high priest, one time a year, the Day of Atonement, he would stand there. He would have the blood that was shed on the brazen altar. And one time a year, he would go behind that curtain. Behind that curtain, there's no lights. It's pitch dark. And that high priest goes into total darkness. In the Holy of Holies, he puts the blood on the mercy seat. And the glory of God lights up the room. You say, preacher, what happens? Our high priest goes behind the veil in heaven. And there's total darkness. And there was, in the high priest, there was something personal going on between God and the high priest behind that curtain that nobody else could witness. Jesus hanging on the cross, our high priest, goes up to the throne room in heaven, opens that curtain and steps in, and God closes and the lights go out. And it was something personal between God and our high priest going on that we don't know everything about it. And that's what was happening behind when the darkness fell. That Bible says in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, hadn't we? We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. I heard a preacher tell him one time, he was trying to tell a fellow one time how to get to heaven. And he was trying, the person couldn't get it, but he couldn't understand it and all this kind of stuff. And so the preacher told that guy, said, hey, go to Isaiah 53 and verse number 6. He said, you go in at the first all and you come out at the last all. Let me get to the Pentecostal side. You go in at the first all and you come in come out at the last all. All we like sheep have gone astray. That means I'm a sinner. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's where I come out at. Hallelujah. The darkness. But let me get to this right here. The loneliness that was going on here. In verse number 46, we often talk about the physical pain. I've already mentioned the physical pain and the suffering that Christ had to endure, and it was extreme. I understand that. But what was more agonizing than that was when his father turned his back on his own son and wouldn't look upon him. You have to get the nature of that if you can. The nature of that. That word, my God, why hast thou forsaken? That word forsaken, his 12 apostles, one of them denied him. Kissed him on the side of faith and betrayed him rather. One of his disciples, Peter, denied him. Not once, not twice, but three times. He takes his disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane and three of them fall asleep. He turns around when they arrest him, and the Bible says all of his disciples left him alone. So that didn't bother him that bad, because John 8 and 29, get this right here. And he that sent me is with me. Jesus talking. He that sent me, my Father that sent me, he's with me. The Father hath not left me alone. If my disciples leave me alone, that's fine. My Father's still with me. If everybody, if my friends, my foes, everybody leaves me, I still got my Father. How many of us have said that before? It don't matter who, as long as I got the Lord on my side. How many was not in heaven? Jesus is saying the same thing. He says, I understand my human natured disciples, my followers, they leave me alone, but I just as long as I got my Father on my side. Matter of fact, he said in John 16, behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now is come, that ye shall be scattered, talking to disciples, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father's with me. Have you ever been lonely? Forsaken, that word forsaken, a man forsaken by his friends, maybe a wife forsaken by her husband, a child forsaken by his parents. That word forsaken is a disturbing word. Matter of fact, David said in the Old Testament, he said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. But here on the cross, we see the righteous one forsaken. Forsaken. It's used to mean abandoned, deserted, disowned, to turn away from. Get this picture. I'm trying to paint this picture and hope you're getting it. But God delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Egyptian bondage. When the children of Israel cried out to God, he sent them a deliverer and delivered them. They get to the Red Sea, they cry out to God again, and God comes and delivers them again. The three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they get in a mess. They're in the fiery furnace, and God delivers them. Matter of fact, he comes and jumps in the fire with them and delivers them. Daniel gets thrown in the lion's den. Guess what? God delivered Daniel when he cried out to God. God delivered. Y'all remember Abraham? God said to Abraham, Genesis 22, take thy son, thy only son, Isaac, go up in the mountain, and I'm going to tell you, you give him a sacrifice, all that kind of stuff. Abraham's up there. He's got the knife, got the wood. His son's laid on the altar. He's got the knife pulled back. God delivers Isaac off from the sacrifice. God delivers when his people cry out to him. But his son cried out, and he would not deliver him. Jesus forsaken by his fellows, forsaken by his family, forsaken by his followers, and now forsaken by his Father. You say, preacher, where's all this in the Bible? Look, Romans 8:32, y'all ready? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for who? How shall we not with him also freely give us all things? He, God, spared not his own son. Get this. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, remember Jordan River? Jesus standing in the water. There was a voice from heaven. It comes out. It's God. And he says, God the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And the angels just shout, woo! Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17, he's transfigured before the disciples. And you know what? God comes to the scene and says the same thing. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I'm well pleased with him. Now get this. Y'all ready? The first thing he said was, Father, forgive them. He called him Father. Forgive them, for they know not what to do. The last thing he says is, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, calls him Father. But this middle statement sandwiched between those two others, he didn't call him Father. He said, my God. Something took place because God was now not looking at him. Get this right here. All the sins of the whole world from Adam was rolled up from the Old Testament and placed upon the Lord. Sin all the way from the last person that's ever going to sin their whole life, way past Revelation 22, when they said that was been rolled back this way and put on the Lord. So when God looked at sin, he has to turn his back on his own son. That's when the sun refused to shine. And he says, I can't look at him because of who he has become. He was his father in the first statement. He was his father in the last statement. But in the middle, he says, my God. Why? It's because Jesus has become sin.
Amen.
And God don't recognize him as his son right now. He recognizes him as sin for us. That's why you see the agonizing cry, my God, why? He says, my God, twice. It's because there's a Trinity involved. My God, God the Father. My God the Holy Spirit, and the Son's doing the talking. He says, why? You ever thought about this? That Bible says in Genesis chapter number 2, therefore shall a man leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So when a person gets married, a father, leaves father and mother and cleaves unto his wife, they two shall be one flesh. Jesus on the cross looks down and he gives his mother away to John. And then he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus hanging on the cross left father and mother so he could cleave unto his bride, the church of the living God. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. My God, why? Now listen. If I just had to pay for my sin, you say, what are they? None of your business. If I just had to pay for mine, that'd be bad enough. If he had to die just for mine, that'd be bad. But if he'd had to die for every sin in this room, let me take my glasses off so nobody start. That'd be really bad. If he had to die for the sins of this whole room. What would really be bad if he had to die for the whole sins of Dyer County? Wouldn't that be bad? But he died for the sins of the whole world. You feel that weight? That weight that was upon him. My God, why? Why hast thou forsaken me? The Bible says, preacher, you got any verses? Yeah, I got verses. Who? His own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Let me give you this last thing. No amens, please. The darkness, the loneliness, but then there's a blindness that takes place. The blindness. We're going to wind down the close. The blindness. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the people standing around the cross, they said, oh, he crieth out for Elias, because he says that, Eli, Eli, you know, and my God, why this? But he says, Eli, Eli, and they think he's calling for Elias, Elijah in the Old Testament. Because the prophecy is, before he comes, the second coming, Elijah will show up. And so they're thinking, and they misinterpreted what he said, which goes on today. They misinterpret what he said, and Satan uses it to blind them from the scriptures. Then they're blinded from the Savior. Then they're blinded to their sin. Let me just say this right here. I remember a fellow talking about a lady that come down, and he says, ma'am, do you believe that Jesus died for you? She said, oh, I believe he died for everybody. She said, no, ma'am. Do you believe he died for you? Well, I believe that the Bible says for God so loved the world. Ma'am, pay attention. Listen to me. Do you believe he died for you? Tears started coming down her face. We hear it all the time. Jesus died for the world. That's wonderful. God so loved the world. Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's good. But then Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for. I'm glad he died for the world. I'm glad he died for the church. But I'm glad he died for me. Now, Sammy's coming to the piano. He's going to play whatever he feels led to come to the play. Now, I need you to listen to me real good right here. I love to joke and have fun. I do. Listen to me real good right here. Jesus Christ, paying for the sins of the whole world. God had to turn the lights out and put him in total darkness because of sin. Listen to me real good. If you never accept that, if you never accept what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, you'll be in outer darkness forever. Not only that, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? If you reject that, if you reject that cross, you will be forever forsaken. You say, preacher, you got a verse? Oh, yes. Depart from me, I never knew you. If you don't come to the cross, you will have to go through everything he went through. The darkness, the forsaking, all of that. God forsook his son so you would never have to be forsaken. He put his son in darkness so you would never have to be in darkness. But if you reject that, he will forsake you. And you'll be in outer darkness. You say, preacher, I've always liked your preaching up until now. Well, listen to me real good. Pull the camera up real close. That is the truth. I don't care what the TV preachers are preaching. I don't care what the radio preachers are teaching or preaching or whatever they're talking about. I just told you the truth. That kind of preaching don't build big churches. But there's at least 100 of you like it. And I'm hoping when we get over there, some more people are going to come and like it. Everybody's not going to like it. Because guess what? The truth hurts sometimes. But you can bypass all of that bad stuff. Because he's already went in the darkness for you. He's already been forsaken, so you don't have to. He's already been in darkness, so you'll never have to be. And as a 10-year-old boy, I fell down on my hands and knees and I said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'll never be forsaken. I'll never be in darkness. You say, because you're good? Oh, no, I ain't no good. But boy, he sure is. And the church said, let's stand all of the building. Who's coming to pray? Who's coming to pray? My God, why? Hast thou forsaken?